You're listening to Casual Swim.
First question for you is, when you were a kid, did you ever think you'd be doing what you're doing right now in the music industry?
Not really, no. I didn't quite realise that I was going to be doing this for a career until I was in my late 20s.
Right.
So that was, it was all a lot of fun until then, and then it was like, oh God, I was very fortunate that I never had to go to plan B, because I didn't have a plan B.
Okay, so you just went with it, and it's just kind of worked out for you, I guess?
Well, I think the thing is, in those days as well, there wasn't any glamour really attached with being a DJ and doing pirate radio. It was pretty much a very, under type of hobby.
Right.
And so I think these days, the way the world is and the way people have to sort of fit their life and their career, maybe, there's less room for this kind of loose approach. I think maybe if I was like, because I've got kids who are like younger than the elders who are like in their teens. And so, I think that these days people are have to be a bit more planned, maybe, about their careers. I don't know. I mean, with me anyway, my mum and dad left the country when I was 17.
Right.
And I was the youngest of my family, because they're French. And so I, at that stage, I passed my driving test and I was doing mobile disco radio. And
yeah.
I didn't really want, I sort of not done too well in my exam. So I wasn't going to go to university and my parents just let me get on with it. And lucky for me, I never needed to call them up to come and save me.
Yeah, SOS is funny. So I guess now all these years later of being in the industry, do you still find it enjoyable considering it's your job now?
Because I've always kept it. It's funny, there's responsibility attached to it because of the fact that, I have a lot of, people kind of rely on me in terms of, my business, my music, my record label and my events and all that sort of stuff. But, it's interesting. I think that if you're involved in the entertainment industry, you have to fundamentally enjoy it because if you're not enjoying this world, you're in trouble more than any other place, I think, because I think it just shows on your face.
Mm.
And I think that, for me as an artist or as a DJ or a broadcaster, particularly as a performer, really, I couldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it,
Yeah.
So, in a weird way, I was never particularly confident about myself as an artist or a DJ or a curator in the early days. What it means is that you work at it, and so the longer you work at something, the better you become at it, and the more you enjoy it. I always feel a bit strange when I sort of see artists who are so successful so soon in their career, because in a way they haven't had a chance to sort of struggle their way up to really appreciate what they've got.
Okay, so you've been finding new artists and sounds for so many years. How do you stay on top of the game and kind of stay relevant? Because I guess the thing about you that I find is really interesting is you're the master of many different art forms and genres of music, but you still say know more about that particular genre than say people that are living and breathing that scene day to day.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of lots of things that make me feel hungry for new music.
Mm.
And maybe that's the fact that, I've been involved as a producer / record executive for sort of 20 years now.
Yeah.
So, from the days of working on my labels and, my label went through Mercury Universal for many years. So, there was that side of the industry that I really, that was like me away from being a DJ. That was just me being, somebody who was, part of the music industry and traveling around the world and seeing how the industry works in different places and how to market records. That was also something that I didn't necessarily enjoy it at the time, but it was a really good foundation for me to kind of understand that, putting a record out as a white label is one thing, but, marketing an entire album campaign is another thing. And I get a lot of pleasure out of, seeing artists. I mean, particularly living in London, it's such a crossroads and it's such a cut cutting edge place, and I can't imagine being anywhere else, you know, involved in the industry, because there's a combination of, you know, a strong music industry here, but also a very strong youth culture.
Mm.
And so this youth culture is around pirate radio and club and, you know, just movement. But, you know, that's something that I'm obviously involved with as a DJ and excites me. And then, you know, the industry side of putting records out is another thing. And then being on the radio, nothing more enjoyable for me than to be able to play something that, you know, no one's heard of, and then mix it up with something, you know, that they might have done. And so to really be able to use my position of, you know, the platform that I'm on to be able to introduce people to new music and not just, you know, and also music that's kind of a little bit out of the norm, you know. I mean, like even playing jazz records, or playing, like, on Saturday we had a Sun Ra tribute.
Yeah, that was dope.
And, you know, for me to be able to subtly, you know, subliminally introduce the music of Sun Ra to a new audience, you know, without throwing it in their face,
yeah,
I think is something I really enjoy doing, you know. So I think, I mean, again, a lot of people ask me to do back to 95 parties, back to 88 parties and stuff like that. I don't do any of that. I don't do any revival thing, any reunion thing, apart from the Dingwalls party I do once a year. But really, I'm still very much in the now, and the now is better than it's ever been. So I'm just enjoying it.
I think that alludes on to my next question there, which was that you brought to life so many kind of new emerging talents and kind of almost made them. Are you conscious of your role that you play in the industry, or is it something that you kind of just do because you love, or is it, do you understand, like, that you can make or break artists and kind of bring them into fruition because of your, I guess, your position as a radio broadcaster?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I definitely can help artists along the way, and I do feel a responsibility to sort of make sure that I listen to new music, you know, and that I mean, you know, that's something that I enjoy doing, fortunately.
Yeah.
And so far, you know, I haven't really analysed it too much. I just do it. I'm a working music person, and so, you know, I'm DJing 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm doing 2 or 3 radio shows, and so the music just continually comes through me. It's a bit like being a chef, and, like, you know, you're just constantly sort of cooking, you know.
Yeah.
So you eventually get quite good, or, you know, you just want to sort of, you know, new ingredients and stuff like that. And so I'm kind of, at the moment, I'm not having to sort of go, oh shit, you know, I've got to come up with something. If I don't come up with anything for a couple of months, then that's the way it goes, you know. It will come eventually, you know. When you've been around long enough, you know, it's all about you being hungry for it, and making sure that you surround yourself with what you enjoy, and then something will come out of that.
And how does the Worldwide Awards kind of add to the role of what you're trying to do in the music industry?
Well, I just think it's important that somebody can highlight some of the artists that might otherwise fall between the cracks, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody, for example, like Fatima on Saturday, I've been, you know, following her and supporting her music since she first came out, you know, with little tracks, and she was, you know, just very, very unconfident, but with a great voice, and just to see her flower into what she's become, you know, you know, as a performer making a great album, it's very satisfying and very enjoyable, and I think it's very important to me to be able to give those artists a platform to be able to do that once a year, and to reward them with, you know, some encouragement, and I think that's important in all aspects of life, and sometimes we're a bit too cool, and I think that, you know, yes, you know, you can criticize, you know, an award show all day long, you know, I can do that, and I do question why I do it sometimes, but the thing is, at the end of the day, it's really about being able to sort of celebrate, you know, what I do and what people like myself do, and celebrate, you know, the wealth of great music, and the fact that music doesn't have to be stuck in, you know, in categories, you know, that music can really work, you know, track track music can just work well, dynamically with other kinds of music if it's curated properly. So
yeah,
for me, that's what the Worldwide Awards are all about.
You seem to put together or piece together different genres of music and different BPMs. And I'm a broadcaster as well. And I think I like to genre hop and kind of tell a story through 2 hours of airtime. Do you have any secrets or tips for someone that's trying to piece together, a show or an era of music that is going through these genres? Is there like a technique to doing it, or is it more just kind of just having a good feel about what works?
No, I think it's just experience, you know. There's no right way or wrong way. I mean, some people are going to tell you that, you know, probably what I was doing 10 years ago was a lot better than what I'm doing today. You know, I think everyone's always got different opinions, and it's sort of, you know, it's difficult to, there isn't a set formula. The formula is just, you know, knowledge, passion, and taste. I mean, taste, you know, what is taste? Now, people tell me I've got good taste, but, you know, I'm sure to a lot of people I've got shit taste. So, you've got to go with what you feel and from the bottom of your heart. It's almost like when I'm to do mixtapes, if I spend too much time on it, I almost lose the instinct thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like I purposely don't overanalyze it. I kind of just catch it and that's what it is, because I think it's very dangerous to overanalyze or to, you know, overthink it. You know, just got to base. I think that with time, with, you know, the gathering of information and musical information, you can eventually, you know, start doing some interesting things.
Yeah, that's great. If you're a young artist sitting in Hackney trying to crack it in today's world, where I think music is a lot more accessible and there's a lot more of it out there through digital channels, what advice would you give to a young musician sitting in Hackney making beats and trying to kind of take out their music or bring it into the spotlight a bit more?
Well, what happened for me was that, obviously, I think this is for DJs and producers and whatever, I think that really, making music now, music is being made by a lot of people. The competition is intense, and the way you're going to get noticed is if you can create a movement around what you do.
Mm.
And for me, you know, if I'm a young up and coming DJ or producer, the first thing I would do is I would go and find a venue, and I would basically put on a party there.
Yeah.
And I'd make sure that I had loads of friends come down.
Mm.
And I would make sure that I was going to nurture those friends, make them want to follow me, and then, you know, build a little bit of a fan base, you know, from early days. But it's about, you know, it's about going out there, out of your room, out of your studio, out of your comfort zone, and going out there. Because, you know, you can't beat an event, and people's passion for an event and feeling a part of something, you know. And it's about being a part of a movement. You'll see all the best clubs, all the best club nights, and a lot of the best DJs in the world, they all came from clubs where they would have a gathering of their mates, and that it's almost like a gang, you know. Mm. And you build your gang, you nurture your gang, and then other gangs want to join with your gang, you know, and then you become more and more well known. And that's the best way, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the moment you can kind of guarantee that you're going to be able to bring a couple of hundred people to your party, people are interested, you know, because then you become commercially viable from a sort of business point of view, and then your music will grow from that scene.
So this is my last question. It's one that I ask lots of artists. It's kind of a weird one, but how do you want your legacy to be remembered?
Well, for me, it's just about being able to put light on artists that might otherwise not have had it, you know.
Mm.
And whether that's young or old artists, for me, the fact that I can be working with someone like Bilal or Marshall Allen or Steve Reed or Lonnie Liston Smith or Roy Ayres or James Blake or Amy Winehouse, all those people are people that I was part of their story and I helped them along the way in one way or the other. So, you know, that's something that I'm proud of. You know, it's not about selling records. It's about being able to give underground music guidance and support, and in a very rock and roll country, which the UK is, it's always been about, you know, because when a country that's created, you know, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and the Beatles, you know, the industry is very based around that. So subversive underground, and it's really been for me about being able to just, you know, throw that in there. There's no greater pleasure for me than being able to play Charles Mingus on a Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock in between artist. Yeah. That to me is the ultimate pleasure.
Charles, I'll finish the interview there because I understand you've got lots to do and you're probably a very busy and tired man. So thanks again for your time.
Good luck. Take care, man.
You're listening to Casual Swim.